I'm the volunteer coordinator here, so I essentially make sure all the volunteers are happy and sort of look after everyone. And
that's quite a job, an important job. I imagine it's getting bigger and bigger because although you need more, always probably need
yes.
more, but you've got, you know, quite a number of volunteers.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of them. I mean, in total, in active volunteers, I would say there's around maybe 45, 50. That's including the visitor centre volunteers, so which the visitor centre is run entirely by volunteers, so there's a lot of them. And then we've also got our outdoor practical volunteers. So they do a lot of the conservation work on site.
Give me an idea of what sort of work they have to do, or the actual...
It's, well, pretty much anything. It's so this morning I was with some people lopping down willow, because it sort of encroaches into reed bed and you have to manage it, basically. But it ranges from that kind of thing to fencing, fixing paths, just... And also they actually, I can't remember which hide exactly it was, but they've actually built some of the hides here as well.
Oh, really?
So they've helped
so
us do that.
A lot of work
so,
to do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. We genuinely would not get the majority of work done without volunteers. They're just an amazing bunch of people.
Yeah, I'm sure. Looking at, you've got a lot of woodland here, apart from the lakes. I always think of my dear old brother-in-law who used to look after a copse.
Oh,
and
copse.
That,
yeah.
That was virtually a full-time job.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, well, that's okay, it's just a few trees, let them grow. But there's a lot of work involved, isn't
there? Coppice rotation is really interesting, actually. And the reason you do it in a rotation, from a wildlife perspective anyway, is because, so say if you had four squares and you did one square one year and the next kind of thing, they're at different growth rates, which means that you actually have a more variation in habitat, which means in turn you'll have more variation in wildlife. So in terms of coppicing, yeah, it's quite an interesting thing in that sense, I think. If you imagine a nature reserve, it's kind of like a massive garden. You know, sometimes there's weeds in the garden, that kind of thing that need to be managed. And, okay, it's not nice necessarily taking plants out and things like that or chopping things down, but you need to do it in order for everything else to actually be able to survive and thrive.
So it's not just removing the dead wood then?
A lot of the time, for example, reed beds you have to cut back. And also if it's a public safety, so for example, if there is a tree that has fallen over across a path, of course you're going to have to, you know, make sure it's all cleared out of the way otherwise.
It's a bit like, you know, when you prune in your own little domestic garden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you don't prune, your bush or tree or shrub or whatever it is doesn't do so well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I presume you have to do that.
It's pretty much, it's pretty much the same kind of thing, just on a larger, much larger scale.
So now, come on, you've got to do your sales job now. You've got to encourage some more volunteers.
So although we have, and our volunteers are absolutely wonderful, they've been so good with this as well, but we do, especially in the visitor centre, need a lot more volunteers to help us out. So for example, with the visitor centre, they do half days and there has to be two of them each shift, so to speak, over a week. So 28 shifts to fill throughout the entire week. Okay, so some people do more than one shift.
Yeah. What sort of things do they have to do within the visitor centre?
So they're pretty much, so if anyone comes in to visitor centre, they are the kind of the first people that they meet. So they kind of greet them, answer any questions they might have. So a lot of people do come in and sort of ask about the trails around the reserve, things like that, about what's going on, the wildlife they might see here as well. So I try my best to keep them updated on that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, they would have to come in and do a bit of homework, I think.
No, I try and send out emails if, you know, things appear. So it's that kind of thing. But also it's, you know, serving tea and coffee, just making sure that all of our visitors feel welcome.
Yeah, you know. I'm sure they do. Well, in fact, I know they do. Have you any idea of the number of visitors you get in the course of a year?
140,000.
In case you didn't hear that, Jim is saying it could be 140,000. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, quite a few, a lot of tea and coffee as well. So
how do people apply to become a volunteer? It doesn't matter what the weather. Because you've got to do it in good and bad
That's
weather.
That's very true,
How can they contact you? How can they become a volunteer?
Well, you can pop into the visitor centre. So we have got a couple of leaflets. Or just come and chat to me. Say hello, and then I can sort of point you in the right direction.
Yeah, lovely.
Marvellous.
Okay. And most people just sort of do a few hours a week, don't they?
Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you, Robin.
All right, thank you.